Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Hour one, just like that. You blinked, you missed it. It's all gone. But not for long, though. Like I said, we always post both shows on the podcast, as both hours of the show on the podcast. So you can check that out if you missed Ryan Fowler. If you're an Alabama fan, want to hear that conversation we had, it's going to be right there on the Southern Sports Today app, southernsportstoday.com as well. Dan Matthews in for Chuck here on a Monday. I'll be in tomorrow and on Wednesday, so you'll get me with Dave Bartu tomorrow. We always look forward to that conversation. And then with Chris Landry on Wednesday as well. And then Thursday for the game plan with Joe Hamilton and the rest of the show. And also on Friday, Chuck will be right back here in his rightful spot. So we have that to look forward to coming up this hour. Brad Sinkiff, 105.5 The Roar, is going to join us. Also, too, going to talk some Gators with Andrew Spivey of GatorCountry.com. So we've got questions to talk and answer with both the Clemson Tigers and also the Florida Gators. So we will have that here to wrap up hour two on a Monday. And as we do at the beginning of hour two every day, let's get you caught up with some headlines.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by EcoDerm. Text EcoDerm to 31996 now for your free sample of EcoDerm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
All right, let's start first with the Georgia Bulldogs, because they're dealing with some injuries following their first day of padded practice over the weekend. As the headline is, according to DogNation.com, junior running back Kenny McIntosh dislocated his right elbow. According to that same report, he could return from it in about a month. Of course, in that time frame, the spring practice would be over with. And even if you were reaching a certain point of the spring, I've got to believe that patience would be the better part of the play here, as opposed to trying to rush him back. And the good news is you've got plenty of players to work with in that running back room. You've still got Kendall Milton back from last year's team, along with McIntosh getting some good playing time in 2020 for the Georgia Bulldogs, Zamir White, James Cook as well. So if there is a group on the field that Kirby Smart and also Todd Monken can deal with an injury at, it probably is running back at this moment, because you're still going to have plenty of good players who can get some carries and see some footballs thrown their way out of the backfield. So That is the deal with McIntosh, as he's not expected to need surgery. He even posted a photo of himself in a sling on social media Saturday night, where he blocked out his face with an emoji, but it's on his account, and it's got a sling, which, oh, by the way, I'm sure Kirby is just thrilled about. Yeah, hey guys out there with your social media accounts, if you get injured, football coaches usually are not very keen, spring or not, of you posting your injury. I remember a few years ago covering the Houston Texans, and Arian Foster had posted a photo of, I believe it was an MRI, and it showed, I don't know if it was plaque or whatever it was that was like causing the hamstring injury that he had. But he said that white stuff right there, anti-awesomeness, is what he said in the tweet. Gary Kubiak was not happy about that tweet being posted. So yeah, like I said, coaches usually don't like whenever you post injury information. If it's your personal information or not, they're usually like, hey, let's leave that off of social media. Next headline, NFL welcoming fans back to the draft, as they announced on Monday that the event is going to take place in Cleveland, April 29th to May the 1st.
They'll have a select number of prospects, fans, and media in attendance. The clubs will designate a number of draft ambassadors, fans who will get front row seats. This posted in the story on ESPN.com. They must be vaccinated, and they must wear masks. I think last year with the NFL draft, and we understand, the pandemic was something that was completely uncontrollable at the time, and you couldn't have people together. You couldn't have the Vegas event that they wanted to have, and the plans that they had had for the Las Vegas draft just would have been awesome. I mean, it's Vegas, for gosh sakes. If you can't put on a good show in Vegas, well, then you're in the wrong place to be trying to put on an entertaining product, and that's what the NFL had planned to do, and they've announced that they're going to go back to Vegas. And hopefully in a post-pandemic world, we'll be able to actually enjoy the draft the way that's supposed to be enjoyed there in the entertainment capital of the world. But for now, it's going to be in Cleveland, going to be an exciting event, and it'll be neat to have fans there. I mean, obviously, we're not to the point in combating the pandemic where we can have it like it was in Philadelphia a few years ago, just Nashville a couple of years ago. I remember the crowd the way it was when Pat McAfee went out there to announce the Indianapolis Colts pick, and he got the crowd riled up saying, you know, it's always good to be back here in Tennessee. Of course, I did not punt very much here in Tennessee, of course, you know, saying, yeah, our offense was taking it to you. So that's the fun whenever you go to a city where I'm sure whoever the representative is for the Cleveland Browns, they're going to get a rousing ovation. But whoever the representative is for the Steelers, for the Ravens, for the Bengals, boy, that's going to be fun television to see with the amount of crowd that's there and how much of a rousing they're giving whoever the representatives are for said organizations when they come up to the podium and make their pick. But that's what the NFL draft's all about. So that'll be exciting, at least in some variation, to get that back this year. Next headline, an all-star game for NFL draft eligible HBCU players is set to be played in February. It's going to be a week after the Super Bowl on that Saturday, the Legacy Bowl, set up by the Black College Football Hall of Fame. It's going to be played at Tulane's stadium there in New Orleans. And it's an opportunity for players from HBCU schools to be able to showcase their abilities. I mean, you'll always see a handful get invites to the East-West Shrine Game, to the NFLPA All-Star Game that they have. And, of course, the game that is the game in terms of college prospects trying to show what they can for the next level before you get to Indianapolis for the Combine is the Senior Bowl. But this is just another opportunity for players who maybe wouldn't necessarily get the same amount of looks from NFL teams and the ability to be able to showcase their talent and be able to show what they can for the next level. So that's something to look forward to. All right, coming up next, let's get into some Clemson talk. We're going to do that. Brad Sinkiff, 105.5 The Roar. He is going to join us as Clemson is starting to wrap up their spring. There in the upstate, we will chop it up with Brad right here. It is the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck on Southern Sports Today.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Yep, that is true. Dan Matthews in. As I break the microphone here in the studio. That's a good start to the segment there, isn't it? Yeah, I'm getting the judgmental look and a shaking head from David. I'm sorry I failed you. But you know what? For the rest of you, the listeners out there, and Brad Sinkiff, I will not fail you any further, because from 105.5 The Roar in Clemson, South Carolina, it is Brad Sinkiff. Brad, we're off to a roaring start here in this segment, as I'm sure you can tell, but it's the perils of live radio. Let's get right into it with the way that things have been going for spring practice. DJ Uiagalelei. It's got to kind of seem like, with the experience he got last year and the way he's been talked about this spring, that he's been the starter for a couple of years now, but only had a couple of experiences last year to get to this point, right?
Yeah, this is a weird transition, Dan. I'm not sure I can recall one like this in college football very often. How many times do you lose a quote-unquote transcendent quarterback, a generational talent in Trevor Lawrence, and then the next guy who steps in, there's like zero question marks about it, man. I mean, no one has really picked apart DJ's game to the point where they're saying, well, can he do this, can he do that? There's just not a lot of things surrounding him that people are worried about. And I say that for Coach Sweeney just as much as anybody else. I mean, Dabo's talking him up as he would any other quarterback. And he's talking about how much of a joy he is to coach, and his competitiveness, and, you know, the way he approaches the game. He's just – it's just very rare, I think, in college football to go from that kind of quarterback to that kind of quarterback, you know, over the course of a couple of months here. But he is the undisputed starter. He is the leader. Everybody's looking at DJ now, and I think he's pretty more or less ready for this. I mean, he groomed, as you said, for a couple of games last year. And that's the thing. He proved he could do it. Now, he lost to Notre Dame, but he went out through for over 400 yards. He gave his team a chance to win. It wasn't his fault that they lost the game in overtime in South Bend. So he's done enough, I think, to garner people's expectations of him and what he can do. The question now to me, Dan, is really, what's the limit? I mean, you know, how far can this guy go over the course of the next couple seasons?
Yeah, I mean, and it's also, too, I mean, it doesn't hurt that he's going to get Justin Ross back this year and the rest of that group that he has coming back for this season. I mean, yeah, you lose Cornell Powell and a lot of production from last year, but, I mean, that's got to feed into it as well, right? The fact that it seemed like he's going to have an embarrassment of riches to throw to.
Yeah, he really does. You think about it, Joseph Ngata will be back 100% healthy, Frank Ladson, and then, of course, Justin Ross. Those three guys gave Clemson very little last year because of injuries. And, of course, Ross was out after having the congenital fusion on his spine that was found, and he had surgery on that in the offseason. And all signs point to him returning. So you put those three out there, plus some young guys in Dakari and Bo Collins coming in, the Collins Towers, as Dabo Swinney calls them, both tall, big guys. Joe is a name you better get used to. The Canadian sensation is coming on strong this spring. I think he's going to factor in to that, to somewhere in that receiving core. And so this is going to be a pass-oriented team with an arm like DJ Uiagalelei and those kind of receivers. I know they lost Travis Etienne, but you don't need to run the ball quite as much as they have in past years with this group.
You can find him Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on the press box on 105.5 The Roar there in Clemson. Also is the deputy editor for All Clemson, the Sports Illustrated's Fan Nation page. There is where you can find some of the work of Brad Sinkiff. And Brad, you know, from the quarterback position, we go to the running back spot, because that is one that a lot of people look at this year. Travis Etienne goes out. So now who picks up the slack? Who is really able to pick up the ball and move forward? A couple of names, at least freshman-wise, hearing Will Shipley and Phil Maffa. It seems like Dabo already heaping some heavy praise on them early on.
Yeah, well, first off, Dabo Swinney is about as optimistic as any coach in college football. I think people who've been around him even just a little bit realize that now. He doesn't really talk negatively very often about his players, and he likes to kind of lay it on thick sometimes. You sort of have to think about who he's not talking about in terms of figuring out what he really means. But he is talking about these two a lot. Phil Maffa and Will Shipley, two freshmen. Look, I was one of the few practices the media's been able to witness just for, you know, about 20, 30 minutes. I looked at Will Shipley, and I'm telling you, that guy does not look like he just came from high school. I mean, he's already physically built, can look like he's going to be able to withstand, you know, run between the tackles a little bit. But that's not even like the best thing he does. I mean, he's a versatile pass catching guy. He's been compared to Christian McCaffrey for the last several years. Fair or not, the young man is going to play immediately in some form or fashion, maybe on special teams. But Phil Moffitt's kind of the guy people forget about. And Moffitt's a guy that got injured at the end of his senior season in high school, had a leg injury. I wasn't sure how much he was going to do this spring. He looks great, and he's doing everything this spring. So I have a feeling that, you know, if some of the other veterans don't pick it up, these two guys can play if needed and probably be very productive.
Again, Brad Sinkiff, 105.5 The Roar, joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. The offensive line, Brad, something too. Again, reading on All Clemson and also just following along with the storylines of the spring. It seems like this is, at least from what they're saying, a group that's out to prove something, especially with the way last year ended.
You would think so. The problem right now with the offensive line is there's not much information to go on. They've been banged up. They caught the injury bug going into the spring, and then throughout the spring, they've had to move guys around. Some guys are playing positions they're not going to be playing in the fall. They've really just not been able to put a full cohesive unit out there that can truly build chemistry. The good side of that, the pro side, is that they're building some depth that way. You know, they're getting some guys some reps who probably wouldn't get quite as many this time of the year. So you think that's going to help. The thing is, I mean, they're only placing one starter technically with Jackson Carman, and two starters, counting center, Cade Stewart left as well. And like those position battles, I don't even think are really truly battles right now. I think Hunter Rayburn is winning some of that center job right now, and I think that Walker Parks, who's been banged up a little, a very talented young player who was a freshman last year, probably going to be the starting left tackle, or they can move Jordan McFadden, the right tackle, over to left and play Parks on the right. So I'm not sure there's a lot of question marks in terms of who's going to win spots. It's just really, can they get a better two deep? Can they find some reserves to come in and actually play much more like the starters? That was the problem last year. There was just a lot of drop-off when they try to move through the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's also, too, I mean, not a lot of times that depth has been an issue at any position group the last few years for Clemson. So it's interesting in them trying to work through some of those issues this spring. Again, Brad Sinkiff joining us here. Brad, I didn't want to go over to the defensive side without touching on something that you mentioned, and that is being able to watch practice again, at least for a brief amount of time. I mean, that had to be a little bit weird, especially after the last year we've had.
Oh, very, very much so. And it felt great to be out there. I mean, I realized that I had not seen Clemson football that close up in an entire year. I mean, it had been like 360 days since the last time I had been at a practice. So that in itself felt very, very strange. But you know what? I was really surprised at how efficient and well things run. I know they had the whole fall to deal with all the COVID protocols, but honestly, you couldn't see a whole lot of difference. There were some, and they're spaced out a little bit differently. And you don't have trainers and student helpers and some of the other staff members maybe, you know, quite as bundled up or around the players quite as much. But still, things ran just as smooth as they always have. Devin Sweeney, a master planner, and you could see that at work during practice.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's so many questions to be answered on the offensive side of the ball. We'll have to save the defensive side of the ball for you, Brad, when Clemson wraps up spring practice here in the coming days. Brad, appreciate your time as always, my man.
No problem, Dan. Always good to talk to you. Take care, my friend.
All right, appreciate it. Brad Sinkiff, again, you can find him on Twitter. You can also find him on your radio on 105.5 The Roar there in Clemson, South Carolina, at Brad Sinkiff. And if you try to spell Sinkiff, well, you're going to run into some issues. S-E-N-K-I-W is the way that you spell Sinkiff. You know, the proper way to spell Sinkiff. That's the way that you can find him. All right, from Clemson, we go to Florida, and we talk some Gators with Andrew Spivey. Gator Country, that is next right here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan in for Chuck.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
It's been a good one so far. Dan in for Chuck here on Southern Sports Today. Chuck, as part of the Chuck Oliver Show, obviously, going to be out tomorrow and Wednesday as well. Some much-needed R&R for Chuck, and then we'll get him back, close out the week, and then we're right back to normal programming all week next week for you right here on the Chuck Oliver Show. All right, we've talked Alabama, we've talked Clemson. Now let's talk some Florida Gators from GatorCountry.com. He is Andrew Spivey. You can find his work on Twitter at Andrew Spivey GC, recruiting and football analyst for the website. And Andrew, always great to catch up, my man. Running backs. Funny enough, running backs is where we start today because a little birdie named Dan Mullen told us he likes that group coming out of spring.
Yeah, it's a good group, and what's even a little crazier about it is maybe the best back of it all, DeMarcus Bowman, the Clemson transfer, hadn't practiced since about the second practice of the spring, as he's dealing with a minor knee injury, so he hasn't even practiced. And, you know, heading into the spring, I think most of us kind of thought DeMarcus Bowman would end up being the guy, but he's not, and he may be in the fall after he gets back. But coming out of the spring, it's a little different name for him, Lorenzo Lingard and Naquan Wright. Both of those guys had the best spring. Both of those guys had the best scrimmages so far. You know, Lingard's been a guy who's highly touted coming out of high school. Went to Miami. He's had the two ACL surgeries. And I think he's back fully healthy again, and he's kind of showing that speed. He's a really, really fast guy. Was a 4.4 in high school, that now probably more of a 4.5 guy with the knee injuries. But really showing that. And with Florida's inability to block up the middle, they got to run the ball on the edges. And that's kind of what hurts Damian Pierce. I mean, Damian Pierce is a physical guy, but if you can't block up the middle, Damian Pierce does you no good.
Yeah, and we'll get into the offensive line here in just a second and the blocking trying to make these things happen. But, I mean, is it more or less just the ability to be able to make plays or the numbers that you just mentioned right there, the three guys that you already were able to talk about with the group?
I think it's the ability of the guys. I definitely think that you're going to see more two running back sets this year. Florida doesn't have that tight end without Kyle Pitts now. So I think you're going to definitely see more of your two wide receivers. And I think you could even see, Malik Davis, that fourth guy in the mix, even split out a little bit to that slot receiver position to play that a lot. And, we've seen that a lot last year, especially in the Georgia game where, Florida would flex up their running backs to the receiver position or just straight, run the running back in a receiver route, in the wheel route, different things like that. So they like to use that a lot. And with those speed guys in Lingard, Naquan, and Malik, you can do that. So I think it's a little bit of that and a little bit of not having the playmakers at some other positions that you're kind of forced to maybe use the running back a little more in the passing game.
Again, recruiting and football analyst for GatorCountry.com, Andrew Spivey joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. And let's talk about the offensive line. Where are the question marks? Because I know that I believe after Saturday's scrimmage that Dan Mullen said he likes some parts of this offensive line, but where are the concerns?
All five. I mean, he says that. And I think he's trying to be politically correct when he says that, but I don't know that there's a spot that's truly locked down outside of the spring. I mean, maybe Gene DeLance at right tackle, and that's not saying a lot. I mean, the guy was a revolving door last year. I mean, Richard Garrard at left tackle, you know, those two guys are projected to be the tackles, but, you know, neither guy is set in stone there. Neither guy really showed out a lot this spring to say that's their spots. And then interior, they've been rotating a lot of guys trying to figure out the piece. They moved Stuart Reese, who was the right guard all last year. They moved him inside to center to play some. They're trying Ethan White there. They're trying the redshirt sophomore in Kingsley at center. So they're trying a lot of pieces, trying to figure out, you know, that best five. Josh Braun's also been playing a lot of right guard. He's probably your right guard, but again, not cemented there. You know, Stuart Reese doesn't work out at center. Do you move him back to right guard? So, you know, a lot of interchangeable pieces they're trying to get going. As I said, they simply could not block this spring up the middle. I mean, there was a lot of sacks given up the middle, and that was probably the problem last year. And if you're going to go into the season with that concern, you're going to have trouble. I mean, Emory Jones has got to be able to run the ball to be an effective quarterback. He throws the ball off of his runs. If you can't run the ball with an offensive line, what are you going to do at quarterback?
Yeah, that's definitely a concern. There's no doubt. And that actually just leads right into my next question, because you just mentioned him, Emory Jones. I know that the press conference on Saturday led off with Dan Mullen being asked about him and, you know, he your guy. And Dan, in typical fashion, I mean, saying yes, but then no, we still got to, you know, get two guys ready, all these different types of things in answering the question. But, I mean, is there a shadow of a doubt about him that, I mean, he is the guy, there, no questions asked?
I think barring an injury, he's your starter, you know, game one next year. I mean, Dan Mullen's proven in the past he likes to play a quarterback who's played a lot and had some reps and has that, you know, seniority and experience, and that's Emory Jones. So I think Emory Jones will be given every chance in the world next year to succeed. You know, Anthony Richardson, I'm sure will have a package. I mean, Dan Mullen does like to run two quarterbacks a lot, and Anthony Richardson's the more polished passer already. But I think Emory Jones will be the guy, and they're just going to try to work the offense around Emory. He struggled a lot this spring in passing, but they also don't allow the quarterback to run a lot. So you can't really take too much out of the spring. But again, you just have to look at this offense. This offense is going to be completely different next year. It'll probably be 60-40, maybe even 70-30 run to pass, whereas this year it was 80-20 pass to run. So it's just going to be a completely different offense, and they've got to figure out the offensive line. I say this, and you know, people ask me my predictions on the season. It all depends on the offensive line.
If you had to take a guess, because we'll see what happens with the NCAA one-time transfer exemption, but if there is an availability for a guy or two to be added to any position on the field, where do you think that need would be fulfilled the most in terms of trying to find that player in the transfer portal?
Yeah, absolutely. Tackle, a right tackle especially, maybe even two tackles. That they looked hard in December and January for a guy to come in and enroll early so he could go through the spring at the tackle position. They just didn't find anyone, and then they convinced Gene DeLance to come back and use that extra year of eligibility. So definitely tackle, and then outside of tackle, you know, you would like to have a veteran safety just because they're pretty young at safety outside of Kyer Elam. But I know the focus right now is just finding tackles. They just don't have a ton of depth. I mean, not only do they not have proven starters there, they just don't have a ton of depth. They've recruited a lot of interior guys who just haven't transitioned to tackle yet.
Yeah, we'll get to the secondary here in just a second as we wrap up with Andrew Spivey, GatorCountry.com. You can find him on Twitter at Andrew Spivey. GC is the way that you can find him there. And well, he's hard to miss in terms of his Twitter avatar because it looks like it's – who is that as Jumpman, Michael Jordan? I'm trying to see who this is. Is that you? Oh, that's you.
That's me.
That's you as the Jumpman. All right, I like it.
Yeah.
I like the artwork there. I like the artwork. Very well done.
I haven't looked for our Braves yet. It will be soon. You know, it's baseball season.
That's true. We are getting to that point a week away from Thursday, opening day in Major League Baseball. You as well as I. Very excited about that. But Jamarcus Weston, I think, is somebody that's going to have a lot of people looking at him and how is he able to progress going into the fall. And just, I mean, can he be a difference maker on this offense this year? Can he be a guy that people look at and say, wow, who is this guy?
Yeah, I mean, we've been waiting on it. You know, coming out of high school, Billy Gonzalez, Dan Mullen, they praised him, you know, said how, you know, raw of an athlete he was, that he just didn't have a, you know, a ton of coaching at the receiver position, and he was going to be that guy. I mean, we're in year three of him now in the spring, and, you know, at times you see glimpses of it, but it's just consistency for Jamarcus Weston. I mean, again, he has all the ability. He has the height. He has the length. He has the speed. It's just running crisp routes, getting himself open, you know, having the quarterback be able to rely on him to be in a spot. That just hasn't happened yet. You know, I think we all hope that it happens just because I think we all want to see how good of a player he really is. But right now, heading into the season, I just don't think you can count on him from a consistency standpoint. I think you have to look at Jacob Copeland, Justin Shorter, Xavion Frazier's, Xavier Henderson. You have to look at those guys and say those are going to be your guys. Whatever you get from Jamarcus Weston is just going to be a plus right now.
Yeah, the cupboard's certainly not bare, even with the losses from last year's team. Let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball here, Andrew. And linebackers is another group, like I talked about earlier. Running backs, linebackers was another group that Dan Mullen had mentioned. And it seems like Christian Robinson and the defensive coaching staff have been able to add some good players to that group. I mean, is it safe to say that those are the tone setters this year for this Florida defense?
I think it has the ability to. You know, while, yes, Dan Mullen praises them, and there's a lot of guys there who had really good springs and a lot of guys who we think are going to be really, really good players. You know, you look at a guy like Tyron Hopper, for instance. I mean, he's got all the ability in the world. Can he translate that to the field? You know, Muhammad Diabite, it's a guy who just continues to impress, just not consistent. You know, Ventrell Miller, we all know what you're going to get from him, but you know you're going to be a liability in the passing game with him. So I think there's a ton of ability there. It's just all about them doing it on the field on Saturdays. And again, we haven't seen it yet. I do think that it'll be there, and I think this will be a more athletic linebacker group that won't be as you know, suspect in the passing game as they were last year. Tyron Hopper's a guy who played safety, even played some defensive end in high school, so he's got the athletic ability to cover some guys. And then we didn't even talk about a guy like Garrett Wingo, is another guy who's going to play a lot. So the depth is there, the talent is there. It's about putting it on the field on Saturdays now.
Yeah, one final one. I mean, you mentioned about getting Elam back in the secondary as one of those safety spots. And I mean, having him there to be able to line up the defense in front of him, that's huge. Just the rest of the group, I mean, safeties, corners added into the mix. I mean, just how do they feel about this group and what it looks like it's shaping up to be a young and inexperienced group overall?
Yeah, I mean, you'll probably line up Trey Dean and probably Rashard Torrance to safety, and then you'll have Kyer Elam locking down that corner spot. And, you know, the other corner spot's the biggest question mark right now. I mean, who fills that? Right now, the only guy who's played, you know, important downs is Jaden Hill, and, you know, he was exposed a lot last year. They're really, really high on Jason Marshall, who's an early enrollee from down in Miami and a big-time player, got all the ability in the world. But, you know, will he be ready to start, you know, the first game at corner? Corner in the SEC, I don't know. I mean, you would hope not. You'd hope you have somebody better, but right now it looks like Jason Marshall may have that inside, you know, edge to do it just simply because he's a better player. I don't know that you trust Jaden Hill there, you know, and you feel comfortable with Kyer Elam. I mean, he's a lockdown guy on that side. You're really hoping Trey Dean and Rashard Torrance kind of take that next step at the safety spot, and it has. I mean, we've heard a lot about Trey Dean. Trey Dean's had a very vocal, maybe even a little too overboard at safety, but hey, that's what you want out of that secondary. So it'll be interesting. I mean, Wesley McGriff and Jules Montier are both coming in and at the secondary coaches, and it kind of worked it. And they're a lot better group now than they were, you know, last fall. But I don't know how they could have been worse. It's just really finding depth at that corner opposite of Kyer Elam, and I'm not sure that where it's going to come from outside of Marshall and Jaden Hill.
Yeah, I misspoke too about Elam. You're right too about being there at corner. Wow, 6'2" at that corner spot. That's a lot of size there. You definitely like that if that's on your side of the football, not on the opposing teams. So we'll see if he's able to spur on that group this year. Andrew, always appreciate the time, my man. We will be catching up with you again here pretty soon. Again, you can find him on Twitter at Andrew Spivey GC, at Andrew Spivey GC is how you can find Andrew Spivey, recruiting and football analyst for GatorCountry.com on Twitter. Andrew, appreciate the time as always. We'll catch up soon.
Anytime, Dan. Take care.
I appreciate it. Again, Andrew Spivey, again, joining us here on the show. And, yeah, I mean, just kind of across the board for Florida. I think that that's something that, you know, you've looked at. And, you know, when I was talking about Dan Mullen's challenges earlier in the show, it's one of the things when you do the deep dive into the recruiting for this team, Yeah, they're not recruiting the way that Georgia is, and that's, in a way, I think, is why you find the belief that Georgia is going to be the odds-on favorite to win the SEC East this year as opposed to the Gators. But it's also, too, they haven't done an awful job. Dan Mullen's first real season as head coach there in Gainesville, 14th is the way that they finished by 24/7 Sports. Top 10 in 2019, and in 2020, they were 13th. So they've recruited well, got a couple of five stars in both of those sets of signees, but it's got to get better, and it's got to ramp up even further. And I get it that Dan Mullen is one of those coaches. I've said it on these very airwaves. He's one of those coaches that loves the challenge of being able to develop and taking the player that is not necessarily the highest rated player, but making them even better. I would also challenge Dan Mullen on that of why not get the better player and be able to make them even better. And then it shows the other elite talents out there, huh, that can happen if I go play at Florida. Yeah, I think I want some of that. And that's something that I think Florida's going to need down the road. So we'll see if indeed they are able to make that happen. All right, coming up next, we're going to wrap it up here on a Monday, give you the closing argument. And it's something that we've heard before, but it's something, too, that I think we should all be thinking heading into the 2021 college football season and beyond. It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck Oliver. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
This is the best way for us to play. But if we don't experiment and move all these guys around, but then the other good thing about that is next year you can get the next best guy in the game because he could play Mike or Will. All right, so it's a really good question, but it's not one that's going to have an answer for a long time.
There it is. Talked about earlier with Ryan Fowler of Tide 100.9, our great affiliate over there in Tuscaloosa. We love all our great affiliates, too, that listen to us throughout the southeastern part of the country. And also, too, you can catch us every day. The Southern Sports Today app is the way that you can pull in the show as well. So there are numerous avenues to be able to catch the Chuck Oliver Show, and we always appreciate you choosing either one of them right here as we continue to move throughout the offseason. Again, Chuck is out today. If you've been watching on Twitch TV, you see me and you say, wait a minute, you're not Chuck. You don't sound like Chuck. You don't look like Chuck. That's because I'm not. I'm executive producer Dan Matthews. So hi, Twitch. Hi, everybody out there. Thank you for watching. Twitch TV / Chris Landry Football is the way that you can find us. Great show today. Really enjoyed talking some college football with y'all as in the bottom of hour one. We talked with Ryan Fowler about said cut that you just heard right there from Nick Saban in terms of, hey, are you going to work Christian Harris at middle linebacker? Or, you know, how's that going to look this spring? And it got the podium tap and all the things that can come with the Nick Saban press conference rant that we have come to enjoy over the last few years. So you got that in the bottom of hour one, talking with Ryan Fowler. In the top of this hour, we got Brad Sinkiff from 105.5 The Roar in Clemson, talking a little bit of Clemson Tigers, because while Alabama is just starting their spring, Well, Clemson, if I'm not mistaken, I believe they just came off of spring break and now going to finish things up there, which actually they did have a spring break at Clemson. So we'll see how they are able to finish out workouts there before going into finals. And then, of course, the summer workouts that happen before we get in the fall camp. And then Andrew Spivey from GatorCountry.com. All three of those guests part of the show today. Again, you miss any part of the show, I don't ever want you to fret. Don't ever fret, okay? Here's what you do. Southern Sports Today app on your phone. Those of you on Twitch right now, you see me holding up my phone. I probably need to clean the screen a little bit more on the phone, but you get my point. Download the Southern Sports Today app and be able to catch the show in its entirety every single day. David is a magician back there. He goes to work, he takes out all the commercials, and he puts it up on there on both Hour 1 and Hour 2 for you to be able to find the show and listen to whatever parts you missed. All right, so right now let's wrap this up. Closing argument time.
The King's Closing Arguments. Presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
Alexander Shannara, if you drive throughout the Southeast, you see that billboard up there. You know the work that the man does. So go ahead and find the great work that he and his associates do in Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, Mississippi as well. You can find the great folks of the law offices of Alexander Shannara and Associates. Two ways to make sure that you get your college football playoff expansion. Nope, it's not Oral Roberts upsetting Florida yesterday in the NCAA tournament. It's not, let's see, who else? Loyola Chicago moving on. You know, we almost had Rutgers over Houston last night, but Houston able to pull that out. So the point is, you're not going to get these small mid-major schools who are pulling off these upsets and getting to the Sweet 16 as an argument out of me to say, yeah, hey, you need expansion in college football, in college football's playoff, because here's the argument for the group of fives out there. I need the Cincinnati's, UCF's, and other group of fives to work it. And here's what I mean. TCU worked it. TCU worked it for years. They went to the Rose Bowl. Andy Dalton and crew. They won said Rose Bowl over Wisconsin. Went to the Fiesta Bowl just a couple years later. And eventually, from the success that Gary Patterson was able to build up with the program, I mean, I mentioned earlier, too, of getting shut out of the college football playoff a couple of years, not so long ago, as a member of the Big 12. But still, not having a full champion out of the Big 12 was what eventually ended up shutting them out. You still have to find a way to be able to get to that point and be in that conversation. So it's not to say that the work that the American Athletic Conference is doing is not valid, because they do have good programs in that conference. Gus Malzahn does not take a job at Central Florida unless it's a job that he eventually sees, if not this year, next year, maybe a couple of years down the line, that he can put this team in position to be considered for the final four teams of the season. Eventually, he feels like he can get there. And Cincinnati, Luke Fickell, if he doesn't leave, probably feels like he can do the same thing. But for the time being, guess what? You got to work it even more. That home and away, you're probably not going to get that home and away unless you want to bring them into the Bengals stadium to play you. You're probably going to have to go Grin and Barrett and play it at their place, or play it in a neutral site nearest their stadium. Boise State a few years ago, you saw the same deal with them. So that's one way. You got to work it if you want to be one of those teams to get in there. Number two, let the TV and revenue revenue dip. If those things start to happen, then you are going to have the playoff committee looking at the current deal and saying, huh, when this thing expires, we need to really look at expanding this thing. Again, until you show that there is a need for it, it's not going to happen. And eventually, we will get there. We all know how the game goes. But for right now, just saying, hey, we need to expand it. Texas A&M got screwed. Texas A&M had one major test this year, and they failed it. And that's not anybody else's fault but Texas A&M's. So, sorry, Jimbo. Can't bend the rules just because it didn't work out for you this season. All right, that's going to wrap it up here on a Monday. Back for a Bar Tuesday tomorrow. Day Bar 2, College Football Matrix going to join us. It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck. This is the Chuck Oliver Show, Southern Sports Today. Take care, everyone.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.